Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
So speaking with Austin Ratner, the author of The Psychoanalysis, Aversion to Proof, Austin, do you think one of the problems a lot of people have with dealing with psychoanalysis, and especially the psychoanalysis themselves, is that it's not an immediate thing? Like, you cannot just treat somebody probably once as a psychoanalyst and expect to get to the root of the problem and everything. Whereas a lot of times you go to your doctor, he looks at your symptoms, boom, he gives you the medication, and it's over. That's not the way psychoanalysis works, is it?
No, it's not. Another great point. Psychoanalysis can take a long time. And, you know, in the United States, at least, I mean, I'm not as familiar with the Canadian healthcare system, but in the United States, there is certainly a huge premium on interventions that are quick and that are cheaper. You know, the health insurance companies don't want to pay for years of introspection with a, well, highly trained psychoanalyst. They would rather give you 3 weeks of psychotherapy with a cognitive behavioral therapist, or they would rather give you a generic, antidepressant, rather than paying for, years of therapy. So there are certain economic, as you rightly point out, there are certain economic forces that are up against the psychoanalysts. On the other hand, the psychoanalysts have really kind of dug themselves a hole when it comes to the society's willingness to get to buy into their therapy. They have not made the case for the merits of their therapy in the same way that rival disciplines have. The cognitive behavioral therapists have done a much better job of presenting themselves in a comprehensible scientific way of saying, you know, showing, presenting studies to the powers that be that indicate, these are the costs, these are the benefits, and these are the guidelines for how the therapy works, and have made themselves much more transparent, so that accrediting bodies, governing bodies like the American Psychological Association, can understand and feel confident about recommending those types of therapies. The psychoanalysts simply haven't made the same aggressive public case for themselves. They haven't armed themselves with research in the same way that their rivals have, and that has contributed to their falling out of favor with the powers that be.
Now, you had mentioned earlier that the field of psychoanalysis has become quite splintered. Is that possibly a part of the problem with their aversion to proof, as you say? Is a psychoanalyst who is following one specific form, and suddenly there's proof that that form is wrong and somebody else's form is right? Is that something that I'm asking you to psychoanalyze psychoanalysts, I guess, is that something that they are afraid of?
Yeah. I think the splintering in the field absolutely is a side effect of the neglect of scientific research, because in the absence of data that everyone can look at and be swayed by in one direction or another, then theory rules overall. Then if arguments are made without being substantiated according to data, then sort of everybody's allowed to kind of roll out their own theory, and there's a long history of that in psychoanalysis. I know how hard the word psychoanalysis is to say. It's such a mouthful, and it was the title of my book, The Psychoanalyst's Aversion to Proof, was certainly not my editor chose that title, and I don't think he had radio in mind when he did.
Now, is one of the problems, because as you say, part of what you're looking at is trying to rescue humanity from its own irrationality. Is that part of the problem psychoanalysts run into as well with trying to grasp truth? Is a lot of times they are dealing with irrational human beings in their science.
Definitely. And Freud himself had a deep-seated conviction that the irrationality of the public, when it came to the topic of psychoanalysis, was a huge, if not insurmountable, hurdle for the field of psychoanalysis. The theory of psychoanalysis hinges on the notion that when people are afraid of something or in pain in some way, they avoid the thing that is causing them fear or pain. And they avoid it sometimes by lying to themselves, by shifting their attention away from it, by pushing the painful or frightening idea or emotion out of their mind so that they're not aware of it. And that's where the idea of the unconscious comes in. Freud felt that by saying psychological truths in public, such as the fact of the unconscious, or saying things that sound antisocial, like all human beings have sexual and aggressive urges that make them feel uncomfortable or guilty and that cause them trouble and conflict in their minds, that can lead to symptoms. He felt saying those type of things, people wouldn't want to hear what he had to say, and therefore they wouldn't give psychoanalysis a fair shake in listening to what he had to say. And that is one of the main reasons psychoanalysis as a field has taken this insular path, where they have not wanted to bring, not wanted to go to the public and say, here's what we have to say, because they have been very paranoid about being judged and dismissed due to irrational psychological forces in the public. And I think that that's a valid point, the idea that the public would have its own psychological resistance to hearing psychoanalytic ideas. But I think that the idea is also itself an irrational, only half rational idea. Freud was paranoid, and really a lot of my book is about analyzing his paranoia, not in the sense that it corrupted his ideas, because I think his ideas are some of the most seminal, important ideas and true ideas that the human race has ever been able to generate. But I really think that his own paranoia about others' attacks on psychoanalysis corrupted his stewardship of the movement. It corrupted the way that he said, well, "We're not going to do studies and present them to the scientific authorities because they will never be fair to us."
Now, what is the first step to psychoanalysts overcoming their aversion to proof? Because, I mean, that's something that they deal with all the time, of course, as the doctor. Now they're sort of the patient. What's the first step?
Right. That's exactly the way that I think about my book, that I have sort of tried to put psychoanalysis on the couch, so to speak, and help them and be their analyst. That's something that I'm sure I know for a fact many psychoanalysts are not going to appreciate. They're going to, you know, they may look at me like, well, you're an interloper. You're not yourself a psychoanalyst. You're just a writer. And we don't want to listen to your critique, your diagnosis. The first step, I think, is and I'm not the I'm certainly not the first person to observe that the psychoanalysts and the Freudians have a problem when it comes to public relations and their attitude to medical science. But I think I'm the first person to make this particular diagnosis about the underlying paranoia about presenting ideas, psychoanalytic ideas. I think the first step is to give the notion that there is a problem here, to give it a chance, to think about it. Is there in fact a problem here? And to do a little bit of the kind of introspection that psychoanalysts ask of their patients. It is hard to do. I mean, that's one of the reasons that psychoanalysis can take a long time, is your psychoanalyst or your psychiatrist will ask you, you know, let's think about the reason that, let's say, you keep getting into fights with your boss, or the reason that you keep, you know, the reason that you've been divorced 4 or 5 times. Let's think about, is there a reason other than the one in your conscious mind? Do you think that, you know, when you're angry at your boss, are you repeating something? Maybe repeating some important experience from your childhood. People will hear that and say, that's ridiculous. I'm not a child anymore. This sounds wrong. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to think about it. But if you are willing to think about it and stay with it for a little while, sometimes you discover some emotional truths about yourself.
Okay, Austin, I hate to break in, but we are going to have to wrap this up pretty quick. Where can people get the book, The Psychoanalyst's Aversion to Proof?
You can order the book on Amazon, and you can also order it directly from my publisher, the psychoanalytic publisher called IP Books, and that's at ipbooks.net.
Austin Ratner, thank you very much for calling in today. Okay, that'll do it, and wraps up Health First. My thanks to Reg Fair for running the board today. Kathy should be back next week for Health First.